Welcome here. I'm one of the other pastors here. My name is John Craker, and I know that so many of you are here to witness these baptisms this morning, and we are going to do that shortly. But I want to open the Bible, and I want to tell you the most important message that you can ever hear. You may have heard it before, and it's worth hearing it again, or you may have never heard this, in which case it is so important for you to hear it for the first time. Because the baptisms that are going to happen in a few moments right over here will only make sense to us when we understand why this is happening. They're only going to make sense to us when we understand the message that these nine have believed, right? The truth that has changed their lives and given them hope, given us hope. That's why we exist as a church, and we want to remind each other of why we exist, why we worship, why these nine are getting baptized. I'd invite you to turn in your Bible, if you have one, to the letter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the New Testament. And if you don't have a Bible, you can use the pew Bible, the red pew Bible that should be there nearby in front of you, and you can turn to page 1020. I want to read verses 1 to 11 from this letter from the Apostle Paul, a man who was deeply changed by the message that you're about to hear. He wrote this to believers in Jesus in the ancient city of Corinth, that's modern-day Greece. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. Now I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved if you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have believe. This is the word of God. Let's pray and then let's study it. Father in heaven, thank you for this word. Thank you for this most important message. And we ask that you would give us ears to hear it, give us eyes to see, give us hearts to respond. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul wrote this letter, and in this letter, he touches on all kinds of subjects that these believers in Jesus were, some of them, confused about, uncertain about, maybe even arguing about. And he touches on all these different issues in the Christian life that are important. And then he comes to this chapter and he says, now, but here is what is most important. This is something that you don't want to get confused on. You don't want to be uncertain about. This is something you need to be crystal clear on. This is the heart of the Christian faith, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, if you take a heart out of a body, what do you have? You have a corpse. If you take the gospel, the good news of Jesus, out of the Christian life, out of the Christian church, what do you have? You have a church that's dying. You have a Christian life that is on the verge of death. There are three reasons why this message is so important, according to the Apostle Paul. Number one, it's the message of good news that saves us. It's the message of good news that saves us. You know, gospel literally means good news. And this is very different from good advice. Many of us look for good advice. We maybe hope to give good advice, and yet the gospel is not good advice. Why? Because good advice is about what you ought to do, but the gospel is about what has been done for you, and that makes a huge difference. I know that many people think that the Christian faith is really about trying to be a good person. And yes, Christians ought to be good people. We ought to live in a way that honors God and blesses our neighbor. And yet, have you ever considered, I mean, some would say the Christian faith is all about following Jesus' example. But have you ever considered what that means? To try and follow Jesus' example. You know, you've heard of the golden rule, love your neighbor as yourself, or that's actually the greatest commandment, but the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, right? Treat others the way that you want to be treated. That's the golden rule. And yet, how many of us actually fulfill that ever perfectly in a single day or even maybe a single hour? Never give in to temptation. Obey God perfectly. Love your neighbor sincerely. Speak the truth boldly. Make every decision wisely. Forgive your enemies completely. If we think that the Christian life is really about following Jesus' example, we will fail. We will fall. We'll be crushed under the failure to do that every single day. The good news at the heart of the Christian faith is not about what you must do, but about what Christ has done. You see, all the religions and all the sort of human thinking and self-help in the world is essentially saying, try harder. And the good news of the gospel is, no. Trust Jesus. That makes all the difference. The gospel is the message of good news that saves us. Second, it's the message of God's Son who died and rose for us. Paul goes on in verse 3. He says, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Those five words, Christ died for our sins. Do not forget those five words. Ever. They're some of the most important words in the whole Bible. And those five words, they contain bad news and good news. Someone once said, the good news without the bad news is no news. We don't often pay attention. I mean, we get so many messages, right? We get text messages, we get emails, we get ads, we get internet pop-up, all kinds of ads for all kinds of things. Some of these messages we ignore, we delete, we flag. This is one you want to read and remember. Until we understand how bad sin is, we will not understand how good the Savior is. The problem is not that we've just failed to follow the golden rule, but we've also broken God's rules. Right? It's not just that we've failed to do the good things, but we've done the bad things. Right, God is perfectly good, and sometimes we say, yes, I know I've done bad things, but I know that God is loving and he'll forgive me. Listen, God is so good that he will deal with every sin. God is so good that he is a perfect judge, right? A human judge, if he just sweeped, you know, a criminal's sin under the rug, he would not be a good judge. He would not be respected. How much more is God a good and perfect judge? Because he sees it all. He knows it all, and he's going to deal with sin in his holiness. Have you ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? How many lies have you told? How many lustful thoughts have you entertained? How many lustful actions have you engaged in? How many times have you taken God's name as a cuss word? How many times have you coveted what belongs to someone else? How many times have you dishonored your parents? And so on and so on. Jesus says that even if you hate someone in your heart, it's like committing murder in God's sight. None of us are getting off. When it comes to sin, we've all failed to honor God as he deserves. We've loved created things more than God the Creator, which is called idolatry in the Bible. We're all rebels. We all deserve judgment. And if God leaves us to ourselves, that's what we will face. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, not just temporary and physical, but eternal and spiritual death. That is where we are headed, except for the good news. And the good news is that God loves us so much that he did something, that he planned something. That's why Paul says that this happened according to the scriptures, because God had planned this before anything, any of us existed, before the universe began. God had a plan to save sinful people like you and me. How? By sending his own son to live a perfect human life and then die a sinner's death in our place. That's what it means. That's what the word for means. Christ died for our sins in place of. He died where we deserve to die, although he deserved no death because he had committed no sin. The prophet Isaiah said this about Jesus, about the Messiah who was to come. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's how much he loves you. That he stretched his hands out on the cross for you, took the punishment that you deserved, gave you his righteousness, so that by turning and trusting in him, God can forgive you, God can cleanse you. That's what we're gonna see, the water, a symbol of cleansing. Christ died, he was buried. As these baptismal candidates go under the water, it's like a symbol of their old life being buried with Christ, and as they come up, a symbol of their new life rising with Christ, just as Jesus rose from the dead. You know, a criminal pays a sentence, goes to prison, and then when he comes out, what does that say to everybody? That says that the sentence had been fully paid. Jesus, though he was not guilty, took our guilt after he was buried, got up, walked out from that tomb, was resurrected, showing what? That the payment for sin had been accepted in full. For anyone who trusts in Jesus, for anyone who turns to him. How do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? He appeared to hundreds of people. That's what Paul says right here. Cephas to the 12, 500 brothers and sisters, men and women. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Some claim that Jesus rose from the dead in some vague spiritual sense. Paul's saying, no, he rose from the dead in a physical, bodily sense. They saw him, they heard him, they touched him. That's what changed them from a bunch of cowards to becoming bold witnesses. Why? They saw the Lord Jesus resurrected. It changed everything. The gospel is the message of good news that saves us. Second, it's the message of God's Son who died and rose for us. And then third and finally, it's the message of God's grace that changes us. What is grace? Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is God's unmerited love and acceptance given to you as a gift that you could never earn because of what Jesus Christ did. He earned it for you. Paul says this, last of all, as to one born at the wrong time. Remember, if you read the book of Acts, he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord appeared to him in this vision. It was different from all the other apostles that happened later. And so he's saying, as to one born at the wrong time, he, that is Jesus, appeared to me. And then he says, I'm the least of the apostles. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. Paul said, you know, he went from someone, it wasn't just like, you know, Paul was a member of parliament who crossed the floor to another party. He went from trying to get Christians killed to risking getting killed as a Christian. Why? Because he met Jesus. And everything changed for him. His identity changed. His mission changed. His purpose changed. Everything in his life changed. Some people claim that the New Testament accounts about Jesus' resurrection were made up so that religious people could gain power over others in society, but Paul and the other apostles did not gain power by believing in Jesus. They got persecuted for believing in Jesus. He was willing to give it up. He was willing to give up everything for Christ. Why? Because of the grace of God. Because of the love of God. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I'm telling you, and we are all telling you, that Jesus Christ came so that you could become a new person, so that you could have a clean conscience, so that you could be forgiven of all your sins, so that you could be accepted by God, so that you could know that when you die, you will go to be with God, and so that you could have an entirely new identity in him. That's why Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. This is the most important message you'll ever hear. The Apostle Paul's story is that the gospel can save anyone, that God's grace can change anyone, and that this message is for everyone, but you've got to respond to it. Paul says, you're being saved if you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. You know, Christianity is not less than believing in facts, but it's a lot more. And I mean, you can look at the ice over the river and believe it's thick enough, but it's another thing to walk across it. You can believe that the check will clear, but it's another thing to cash it. You can believe that the parachute will save you. It's another thing to put it on and jump out of a plane and pull the ripcord. It's one thing to believe in your mind that Jesus died and then he rose again, but it's another thing to turn away from your sin, to put your trust in him, to commit your life to him. That's faith. And that's what these nine are going to do in this moment. They've professed that faith in Jesus and they're walking it out. They're responding with action. They're responding in obedience to Jesus, which is how the Lord calls us. So, what about you? You've heard the message. What are you going to do about it? Gone to church all your life, you're a nominal Christian, an Easter Christian. Maybe you've never heard this before. God invites you, calls you, commands you to turn and trust in Jesus Christ. This is the most important message you will ever hear. It's good news that saves us. It's about God's Son who died and rose for us, and it's about God's grace that changes us. So receive it, as Paul says. Believe it. Accept it. Stand on it. Hold on to it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news of Jesus, and we pray that you would convict us of our sin, that you would show us our need of Christ, that we would taste and see that the Lord is good, that we would take refuge, that we would call on the name of Jesus, because you promise that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, as we worship you now in song and as these nine prepare to share their testimonies, would you bless us and them and glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.